Today, we're going to talk about the anointing. In terms of recap, you know that we've been saying, this is week 15, by the way, we've been saying that John gave us three reasons why he wrote his gospel, so that we might know that Jesus is Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that there is life in his name. And so those three things, I'm pressing this button and it's not working. Oh, it is now. That's good. So today we're going to be focusing a bit more on believing that Jesus is Messiah. Messiah means the anointed one, the one that's been set aside for a special purpose. And so we'll see a little bit more about that today. Right, so the gang is back together. Last week, Lazarus died. And then Jesus went along and shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And he came out, and it's caused chaos. I mean, the whole of the countryside have been wanting to come and see Lazarus. Let me meet the man who was dead. I want to meet him. And Jesus has been away and he's come back again. And here, on what is 6 days before Passover, and Passover is when Jesus died on the cross, then on that time, they all get together for a meal. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Jesus, the disciples, some of the local people, they're all there having a meal together, and it's really important to them. Martha was serving, Lazarus was reclining at the table, and then Mary took some fragrant oil or cream and anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiped it with her hair. I've always thought how difficult it is to say her hair, but we said it. Now, what's significant is that this anointing oil or cream cost about a year's pay. Now, it tells you something about Lazarus, Mary and Martha in that they had a few bob. Because not everybody could afford this stuff to anoint. And you sort of think that maybe they just used a whole bottle on Lazarus. And now, 6 days before Jesus died, they want to anoint him. It's very interesting what happens here. And we're going to go a little bit more into detail. One thing in the passage that we read that's really clear is that the thief wanted a share. Judas, the dagger, it calls him in the Second Testament. Judas the dagger. This is a man who wants to be able to dip his hand in the bag when he wants and get out what he wants. And all he was thinking is, man, with 300 denarii in there, nobody would have noticed if I'd taken 1, 2, 10, 30. He was thinking about himself. It's 6 days before Passover, and Jesus says something significant. He says, "She has kept this for my burial." It's clearly traditional that you anoint someone who is being buried. You anoint their body, usually the day they died. You wrap them up in strips of cloth, and you put them in a tomb, and you leave them there for about a year, and then you wait till they're entirely decomposed, and you take the bones out and you move them somewhere else, and it was just what they did in those days. But bearing in mind how hot a country it is and how difficult it is in that atmosphere and those weather systems to actually keep even meat fresh, a person begins to smell very badly very quickly. So it makes a lot of sense to wrap them up with perfumed oil and perfumed cream. And if possible, you want something that really has a very strong scent, because otherwise the smell of them dying is not good. I was talking to a friend on Friday morning and he said how they'd had mice in their house, and he had blocked up the gap in the wall where they'd been getting out, and he'd left them to die in the wall. And he said it was all right for a few days and then the smell started. And he says, you've just got to persist through the smell, he said. And, you know, a couple of weeks and it passes. And he says, in between time, you get a load of flies. But he says, that's okay, because they are eating the corpse. And that's actually very similar to what would have happened with Lazarus. And it was just the idea that Jesus is next. Why use it now? Because she was grateful for what Jesus had done for her family. Jesus had turned it all round for them. For them, the resurrection of Lazarus changed everything. You know, she'd lost her brother, and all of a sudden, she'd got him back. This was like a total lack of hope that's turned into a breakthrough. You know how important it is that we recognize that she was being grateful. And we need to be grateful. Sometimes we are grateful for big things, and sometimes we're not even grateful for little things. I just want to encourage you, let's be grateful for everything. If there's something little that you pray about and God answers it, be grateful, be thankful. Because I am not convinced, if you aren't grateful for the small stuff, that you'll even be grateful for the big stuff. Let's learn to be grateful, to thank God. Do you know what? I thank God every day for saving me. I thank God that when I was just 8 years old, I walked into that little Pentecostal mission and God saved me. He gave me himself as father, having just a year before lost my dad. And it was so wonderful that God has been with me all these years. I don't forget to thank God for that. And I want to encourage you, be grateful for what God has done. Here's the big deal though. Yes, she was grateful. Let's not take that away from her. That was a really big thing. But she listened to what Jesus had said. And one thing he'd said was, I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you remember that? We only talked about that a few weeks ago. Do you remember something very interesting about Mary from the other Gospels? John doesn't tell us this. But one of the other Gospels tells us that Martha said to Jesus, Jesus, tell my sister to help me. I'm doing everything in the kitchen. Tell her to help me. And Jesus says, she's chosen the better thing. I'm not going to take that away from her. What had she chosen? She had chosen to sit with the men. Yeah. Now, in those days, men talk to men. It was different when there's 5,000 men and a load of women and children on the hillsides of Israel, and Jesus is out speaking to them the Sermon on the Mount. That's a whole different thing. But in someone's house, it's the men that Jesus speaks to, because they're the ones that basically are much more literate, and they are the ones that have the right to sit down and be taught. It was a Jewish thing. It was a rabbi teaching thing. But Mary sits and listens to Jesus. Now this is what Jesus said. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now I'm going to suggest to you today that Mary wasn't as thick as two short planks. I'm going to suggest to you that Mary was quite bright. She had pieced it together. Do you remember what Jesus said to her last week? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, I know that my brother will be raised on the last day. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says to her. Okay, yeah, we know he will be raised on the last day. But I am the resurrection and I am here. And Lazarus gets up. She has heard all of this. And she has started to put two and two together and got 3.5. She might have got 4. Because she reckons that it's Passover time. And that's the time when the lambs are slaughtered. It's the time when the sacrifices are made to God. And Jesus, there is a certain muttering happening wherever he speaks now. People are saying, but the Pharisees don't like this. And the Pharisees are over there and they're saying, we don't like this. And there's a sense of murder rising in the atmosphere. She knows that because they're already talking about putting Lazarus to death. That's great reward for being raised from the dead, isn't it? You know, it's caused so much trouble for the Pharisees, they want him dead. And she hears this and she thinks, this is the time that Jesus will lay down his life for the sheep. And so, she recognizes something about Jesus, that he has already told her that he is the resurrection. And she thinks, hang on a minute, I had time when my brother died, we did all the formalities, and he was only in the grave for 4 days. Jesus, if he is the resurrection himself, he ain't going to be there for 4 days. Our Bibles tell us he was there the evening of one day, one whole day, and then up the morning of the third day. It wasn't like he was in there for 3 days. He was in there parts of 3 days. And she had worked this out, that the resurrection of Jesus was going to be the fulfillment of all things for her. And so she was not only grateful when she was anointing Jesus, she was saying something to the public. She was saying, hey, everybody, I am anointing him because he is the Messiah. He is the resurrection. And she wanted to get in before he was already up again. And if you read through the 4 Gospels, and there's a slightly different account of every one of the resurrection, because it depends who was telling the story to the gospel writers as to who they included in it. But there's this general sense that there's a group of women, and of course Peter and some of the other disciples came there as well. But what we know is this: if you look through that list of women, Mary of Bethany is not on the list. Mary does not go on Resurrection Day. Early on the third day, Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, not Mary of Bethany, she went to anoint his body. That's what John tells us. And he was already gone. So all this wonderfully expensive perfume that Mary of Magdala had taken was wasted. Mary of Bethany did not want to waste it. She wanted to anoint Jesus. She wanted it to be known that Jesus was Messiah. She knew she was never going to get in that early on Resurrection Day. It was too late to anoint him then. So she was anointing him for his burial. Mary believed. If there is one message for you to take away today, it's this. Mary did this because she believed. She believed that Jesus was going to die soon, and she believed he wasn't going to be in the grave for long because she recognized him. Do you remember last week we said, fancy meeting someone who introduces themselves as the resurrection from the dead? That's what Jesus did. He said, hi, I'm the resurrection and the life. Mary believed that. She believed that to her core. And that was the reality of life to her. And so she was prepared to spend a year's pay on anointing Jesus' feet because she believed. Now look, the whole house was filled with the fragrance of oil. I would love to know what nard smells like. I'm not a person who gets on very well with strong fragrances. I have been known to sneeze sometimes when my daughters have overdone it. Fragrance can be overpowering, can't it? I want to suggest to you that this was an overpowering fragrance, that anybody who got near could smell it. And what did this fragrance represent? It was the smell of faith. Someone may say to me, Stephen, I don't get faith. What's faith all about? Well, it's the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof of what we can't see. It's the way we connect, but with belief, to our God. That's the reality of faith. And this fragrance, this overpowering scent in the room, that was what faith smelt like when it was Mary's faith. Her faith overpowered the whole room. Can you imagine? I don't think this was done until after the eating, because I don't think they would have been able to eat anything else. You know, you can imagine, I thought I was having a chicken fajita, but it tastes of pure nard. You know, it was that overpowering fragrance. And what we understand here is that for Mary, this is what faith smells like. I am putting down a year's pay because I believe that Jesus will be raised from the dead. You know, some people bet. I wouldn't advise it. I've seen too many people's lives ruined by betting. But I do understand the sense, I'll bet you that never happens. Or I'll bet you it does. And you know, people just say that. She was betting a year's pay on the resurrection. And this was a really, really big bet. You don't want to bet a year's pay on anything. I know a man in Acombe who bet £35,000 on a horse and lost it. And you don't want to do that. What's £35,000? That's not a bad year's pay. It's more than a year's pay for some. It's a lot of money. And what she was doing was a huge step of faith. But it wasn't a gamble, because she believed. And we need to understand, people, that our faith is not a gamble. It's a certainty. Faith is the certainty of things not seen, Hebrews 12 verse 1 says. It's the certainty of what we can't see. The smell in that room, the intense fragrance in that room, was the certainty of Mary's heart that Jesus was about to die, but he wouldn't be in that grave long enough because he was the resurrection and the life. And that is the evidence of what our Bibles tell us happened that night. It wasn't enough that Lazarus was a follower of Jesus and that he was raised from the dead. His sister was a true believer, and her true belief is evidenced by what she did. Is there a scent in this room this morning? Is there? Is there? There can be. There can be. There can be the scent of our faith rising up. We need to put our hands and our mouths where our faith is. We need to choose to believe, and then by the evidence of our actions, release a fragrance to God. She acted according to her belief. Do you know what? I am not convinced anybody believes anything unless they act on their belief. I met a man, I don't know, about a year or two ago, and I hadn't seen him for many, many years, over 20 years. And I said to him, "How are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm doing well." He says, "You know, my life changed the time I followed you leaping off a platform." And I thought, "What's that about?" And he said to me, "You know, you went up on the platform, you took the microphone and you said, 'I believe and I'm going to leap off this platform as an evidence of my belief.'" And he said, "I got straight after you with someone else and we leapt off after you because we believed it was an important thing that you were doing. I thought it was a crazy thing because it was quite a high fall and I didn't know quite whether my knees were up to it, but they were." And he was telling me some 20 odd years afterwards that that day had brought a change in his life. Let me tell you, the smell of your faith can bring a change to everybody in the room. We need to learn to act on our belief, because you will influence those around you and they may be stirred enough to do as you do. I've no desire to leap off any platforms, but I was encouraged by the fact that that man, it had changed his perspective. And you know what? Mary's nod changed the perspective of everybody in that room. But whether it did or it didn't isn't the point. The point is, it was a demonstration of her faith. And we need to learn that we can choose to believe and act on our belief, and that can change our now, and our now can change our forever. And I believe that with all of my heart. God forbid that we have a faith that is, "Oh, how nice, nice, nice. Oh, nice, nice. I'm a Christian now. I'm nice." Well, I hope you are nice. But if it's just being nice, God help us. There are some very nice people who don't come to church. But we need to learn that believing in God for salvation changes us inwardly. The Spirit of God comes and renews us. And that which was dead inside us comes to life. And that which comes to life can impart life to those around us. And we can bring the change to society that society desperately needs. And we can do that because Jesus is alive and his life in us is enough. I want you to understand that she anointed the anointed one. What's she doing there? She's saying, Jesus, I am pouring this on your feet. I'm anointing you with this oil because you are God's anointed. And I want everybody in this room to know that. And I am choosing to believe that you are God's anointed. That's what she did. She anointed his feet because she said, I have chosen to believe that you are the resurrection and the life. I am therefore putting my faith in that you are the giver of life. Can you see how the account of the ministry of Jesus that John leaves us with exactly fits his aims to tell us this? Because he is telling us the bits that reinforce that. That's why they're not in Matthew or Mark or Luke. They're there because John wants us to understand. Look, Matthew, Mark and Luke, they wrote their Gospels years ago. You know, Mark probably wrote his in something like AD 55. And then Matthew and Luke were sometime after that. Sometimes we're not quite sure whether it was just before AD 70 or just after AD 70. But John's Gospel was written in AD 90. And John is looking back on the other Gospels and saying, what did these guys leave out? And so he tells us stories that the other Gospels all agreed on, but didn't include. And he includes them so that we might believe that Jesus is Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing in his name you might have life. That is why they're there, and that's why Mary anointed Jesus in that room that night. She believed it was her last chance to evidence her faith. Do you know, sometimes you've got to do it when you've got to do it. Sometimes it's not enough to say, well, I'll do it another time. Sometimes you've just got to say, right, today I'm going to nail my colours to the mast. Today I'm going to pray that prayer and ask Jesus into my life and make me a new person. Today I am going to go out for prayer. I had had terrible problems with my bowels for 3 years. The first year or two, I hadn't bothered with it because Rocky was ill and I couldn't be bothered about going to see a doctor when my son was ill. I was seeing him all the time for my son. But eventually, I went to see the doctor and had a camera up me and a camera down me, but they washed the camera in between. I had all types of samples taken. I had all types of treatments. And at the end of it, my doctor said to me, Stephen, it's irritable bowel syndrome. We can give you things that will help medicate you a bit, but there's no way around it. You're just going to have to live with it. And 3 years after this happened, I was in church one morning and I was thinking about the woman who had the issue of blood. And I thought to myself, if only I could touch the hem of Jesus' garment today, if only I could do that. And you know, I just had a sense in my heart that Jesus was saying to me, I'm walking up and down the aisles here. And so I got up out of my chair, and you know, the whole church was just worshipping. Nobody was paying any attention to me. I still don't know if people noticed I did this. But I walked up to the front and I got down on one knee and I just reached out and touched his garment. You know, it's a barmy bloke that goes and does that, isn't it? You know, what a crazy pastor you've got that he went out to the front. But do you know, while I was down there, I was healed. I had spent 3 nights a week sat up on the toilet instead of sleeping for 3 years. It was a terrible thing. It was like continual. I would be up all night and then have to go to work the following morning. I walked around like a zombie for those 3 years because I was just so sleep deprived. But that morning, my act of faith caused me to receive my healing. And I have never had a recurrence. I want you to know, your act of faith will make a change for you today. Once I leapt off a platform, once I went and touched the hem of his garment, which evidently wasn't there, but by faith it was. And sometimes that's the difference our faith makes. Our faith makes a difference to something not being there and being there. Her hair smelt too. She wiped his feet with her hair. There were no showers in those days. There were no long soaking hot baths. They went down to the river and washed. And I don't think they did that every day. I would suggest to you that for a good few days, the scent of this faith hung around Mary. And wherever she went, people would remark, "Mary, Mary, Mary, what is that smell?" And her answer was, "You're smelling my faith." That was a reality. But Jesus was crucified with that smell on him too. Have you ever thought about that? When Jesus is strapped to that whipping post and the guy gets this cat of nine tails with lumps of bone wrapped in bits of leather at the end of every one of these multiple whips, and then he hits it into Jesus's back and the bits of bone stick. So then when he pulls the whip back, he pulls stripes of flesh off the back of Jesus. And here's the point, and you just get a little shot of this in the Passion, the movie, where you see they zoom out so you can't see any detail because they refused to give the movie a license for release unless they zoomed out. They said that's too gorish. They didn't hesitate to allow the crucifixion, but the whipping was too violent. So they pull out. But you do see the man with the whip gets the blood of Jesus spattered all over him. Covered in blood, the man with the whip goes, "What is that scent?" And he didn't know Mary. He didn't know, but he was smelling Mary's faith, even though he'd never met her. And we need to recognize that our faith put into action can be picked up by people down the road from us who have no idea even that we exist. Don't forget to act on your faith. And you know what? On that cross, Jesus can still smell Mary's faith. There's only 6 days passed. This is intense stuff. Jesus hasn't gone for a bath. He's gone for a beating, but not for a bath. The scent is still on our Jesus. Jesus remembered her faith. Jesus remembers your faith. Will you pray with me? Yes. Lord Jesus, thank you that you remember us. Thank you that on the cross you remembered Mary. Thank you that you remember us when we are in need and even when we're not. And Lord, today we're just wanting to stress to you that we do believe that you are the resurrection and the life. Lord, we do believe that if we die, we'll still live. We do believe that in Jesus there is forgiveness for sin, there is healing, there is breakthrough, there is a touch. We don't believe it's an easy ride, because it isn't. But we do believe that our belief in you makes all the difference. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and we say we choose to believe in you. We choose to believe in you for salvation. We choose to believe in you for our need. We choose to believe that you are the resurrection and the life. And Lord, we want the smell of our faith to rise up in this house, in our street, in our families, and we want our faith to stink the place out in the best possible way for Jesus. If today my words have moved you and you've never really ever chosen to follow Jesus, you've never actually said to Jesus, "Jesus, I want to be yours," then I'm just going to ask you, nobody's looking, why not just do that now? Just say it under your breath. You don't have to say it so anyone will hear. You don't even have to tell me. But nail your colours to the mast today. Let everyone know that you are a follower of Jesus. Because you know what? Jesus will remember that. What does Jesus say to the man on the cross next to him, dying? He says, "Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus will remember him. Jesus will remember you. Jesus will remember Mary. Lord Jesus, bless us all. Help us all to follow you, whatever the cost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.